Hello. Hi. Such a blessing to see your beautiful faces. I love the PM girls. I say it a lot, but I love the AM girls too, but the PM girls, I used to be a PM girl, so I love you girls. Thank you. So just to quickly introduce myself, my name is Zanetta Romero, and I work in the She Ministries office. So I'm part of the staff here that gets to serve you. So such a blessing for those of you who don't know. But today, Lenya, myself, and Janae are going to be giving you an overview, just an introduction to the parables, and get you geared up and get you started for what you're going to experience this semester. So hopefully we'll do a good job at communicating that for you. So I will be discussing the stories. So that's the what of the parables. What are they and what are they not? Janae is going to be discussing the secrets, the whys of the parables. Why did Jesus talk and communicate in this way? And Lenya is going to communicate the Savior, the who of the parables, the one who wrote them, and she'll go into depth about Jesus. So do I have any visual learners in the house? Oh, yeah, a whole bunch of you. All right, well, I'm a visual learner, too. And years ago, I participated in a small group here, and much like many of you will do this evening. And my small group leader, she brought a bag of unpopped microwave popcorn one day into the class. And this was to demonstrate us and these seeds in here that are in us. And they can either pop and produce this yummy, tasty kernel, if you will, fruit that would come out of you, or we can also have seeds that are bad and maybe seeds that are just sin in us. So they continue to grow in us and maybe people can't see them at first, but then they turn into this yucky smelling burnt popcorn smell. And she even brought a bag of burnt popcorn so we can smell it in the room. And it really did linger and leave that yucky odor. And so that was her demonstration to us. But then she went on to say that Jesus, the Lord, God, your Father, what he will do is that he doesn't turn away from that yucky, you know, smell and this distaste that we might think is. He actually is wanting us to repent, to come to him, and he wants to hand us a brand new bag of popcorn, brand new fresh start. So she used something natural to teach a spiritual truth. And to this day, that has stuck with me. And back then, that revealed some sin in my life that I needed to deal with. So, again, using something natural to teach a spiritual truth. And that is much like what Jesus does in the parables. He uses natural elements to teach a spiritual truth. So before I tell you what parables are, let's talk about what they are not. So Parables are not fairy tales. They're not myths. They're not legendary stories. So they're not dragons and creatures and fairies. That's not what they are. What parables are, and perhaps the definition that you've heard before, is that a parable is a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. And simply put, a parable is a word picture. The first four letters in that word parable are para, and they mean to lay alongside. So a story laid alongside a truth to show how they are parallel to one another. I would show you with my both hands if I didn't have the mic. But I love what Warren Wiersbe says. He says that parables are both mirrors and windows. So as mirrors, they help us to see ourselves. They reveal our lives as they really are. As windows, they help us to see through, and we can see God through those windows. And I further thought about mirrors and just mirrors being parallel to one another and thought about, you know, if I have a mirror in the front of me and a mirror in the back of me, I may look in the front of that mirror and see my outfit, see my hair, see what's going on and think, okay, maybe that looks kind of good. But if I look deeper into the, you know, if I look in this mirror and I can see what's behind me in the parallel mirror, I'm like, ew, there's the truth. I see the backside and I'm like not so happy with that. Or maybe I see like a hole in my hair. You know, when you curl your hair and there's like this awkward piece. I actually had that earlier. Tracy, I love you. She helped me out. She's like, girl, your hair. So I didn't have the mirror, so I couldn't see the whole truth. So simple word pictures that help us understand God's truth. And they must have been really important to Jesus because he does speak this way in a third of the Gospels. So the disciples had been walking with Jesus. They had heard him talk. They had heard him teach many things. They had seen many miracles. But now he would speak to them he would paint a picture for them. And it's interesting to note when Jesus started speaking in parables, I thought, and you'll learn this in your introduction if you read that in your study book, but Jesus began his ministry in the fall of AD 28, and he started teaching parables around the fall of AD 30. And I studied in various commentaries as well, and it seems like the last year, so he was in ministry for 3 years, public ministry, so the last year to year and a half of his life is when he was speaking in these parables. And he spoke them around the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus, though, he was on the move. He didn't set himself up like maybe in a room like this or on a stage like this. He was on the move and going around and talking to people like you and I. And I think it's important to note that for us in our ministry, that's what God wants for us. And what wants us to do with our ministry is not just, don't just focus so much on being maybe planted somewhere, but where, what's going on when you're on the move? Maybe you're in the grocery store, or you're at work, or you're with your kids. Maybe you're around those family members at a gathering and you're trying to avoid them. Maybe it's at that time you're supposed to be doing something else. So Matthew 13:1, if you're taking note, tells us that on the same day or on that day, he spoke to them in parables. So I'm like, okay, well, what day is that? So if you go back and you look at Matthew 12, you will learn that it was a Sabbath day. And God's law for the Sabbath was don't work. That's it. Just don't work. It was a day of delight and a day of rest. But the religious leaders had added so many rules and so many things that the people had to not do that it became work for them, what they had to do. So it got kind of messed up. And by Jesus' time, the day of Sabbath was a day, certainly not of rest, not of freedom, but of heavy burden. So he became a storyteller on the Sabbath day. That day, he healed a man with a withered hand. That day, he healed a man who was demon-possessed and who was blind and who was mute. And that day, he would speak to them in parables. And it was an epic shift in his ministry, what he would begin to do. And this day, starting today, is a day that centuries later, he's going to speak to each of us in here using the same parables, the same word of God that is so amazing. It's active, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces in us, ladies. Like, you know, he'll convict us. He'll show us things about ourselves. He'll call us to him. So I'm excited to learn with you ladies this semester. And perhaps this semester is, just pay attention to this today, tonight, and even next week and the weeks to come, that maybe the Lord needs to give you a brand new fresh start and you would look past and know that there's no condemnation in Jesus and this is what he wants for you and he wants you to learn and grow. Well, here's the beautiful Janae, and she's going to tell you about the secrets, the why.
Evening, ladies. Oh, you guys are so quiet. You got to get a little bit more rowdy for me. Yeah. Some of you might be thinking, who is this girl? Others of you are saying, no, you're a lady, and I'm still in denial, so I'm going to say I'm a girl. I'm Janae. I'm Lenya's daughter-in-law. I almost said mother-in-law. Why not? You know, who knows? So I'm Lenya's daughter-in-law, and I'm privileged to be on her team and teamed up with Zanetta as well. And I'm here just to tell you a little bit about the whys behind the parables. But in order to ask the question why, we first have to know the what, right? Because otherwise you're saying, why what? And so I'm glad Zanetta came up here and shared with you what the parables are and what they are not, so you can have a clear understanding of what the why is. Why did Jesus speak to the people in parables? It's a really good question. It's a question that the disciples even asked Jesus. And in Matthew 13:10 through 15, it says, the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will not hear, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they shall understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.'" And then later in that same chapter, in verses 34 and 35, it says, "All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.'" So what is the purpose of the parables? What is the why behind the parables? Well, there are three different things. One, the parables revealed truth to those who were receptive and loved the Lord. Two, it concealed truth from those who refused and rejected Jesus. And thirdly, we see that it brings fulfillment to the scriptural prophecy. Psalm 78:2 predicts that the Messiah would teach through parables. And it says, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." And some of you might be sitting here today and go, "Oh man, I totally get it. I totally understand why Jesus would speak in parables in order to fulfill prophecy. But I don't understand why he would speak in parables to reveal truth to some, but conceal it from others. That's harder to understand and receive." Well, in order to really understand that, we're going to dig deeper. We're going to take three steps deeper into the whys of the parables. And first is specify. Why does Jesus specify or identify who he's talking to or who he's speaking with? We have to know that Jesus was speaking to everyone. He was speaking to anyone who would listen. Jesus was not like Harry Potter. He did not create a room or a hidden place where he and his followers could go and start plotting against the enemy. He openly spoke. He spoke in public and for all to hear. And the multitudes came to hear what he had to say. So what does it mean, or what did Jesus mean when he said, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given"? Matthew 13, if it continues, it said, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." The parables reveal truth to those who not only hear, but choose to listen, choose to obey, and choose to believe. However, for others, the parables meant nothing. It went over their heads. They couldn't comprehend what those truths were because it fell on deaf ears. Deaf ears and hard hearts. Ladies, we need to make sure that we give ear to the Lord, that we give the Lord our full attention so that he can actually speak into our lives. John 10 says that the sheep follow him for they know his voice. Do you know the voice of God? Because if you don't, you need to, so that you can understand his truths. Our God is not a God of confusion. He's not a God who is going to put things before you and lead you astray. He's a God of peace. And he's a grand, multifaceted God, but at the same time, he's simple, and he's within reach. Which leads us to our next point, simplify. Jesus spoke in parables to simplify, to clearly state and help understand the heavenly truths and concepts that he was telling them. In other words, Jesus was speaking in the people's language. And I don't mean like he was speaking in their native tongue, which he was. And that's important, but he was speaking in the people's vernacular. He was speaking to them on their level. He was talking to them, giving them illustrations that they could understand and relate to. Jesus didn't speak Christianese. He didn't use big words. He didn't even reference the scriptures specifically. But he used these simple stories. These simple stories that helped them grasp and understand what was unknown to them. He took what was familiar to them and he revealed what was unfamiliar to them through these stories. And for example, the parables of Jesus oftentimes included analogies and illustrations that were relatable. They related to creation, to occupation, to ownership, to family dynamics, all of which the multitude, the crowd of people would understand and relate to. Paul tells us in Corinthians 9, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Ladies, this does not mean that we have to become drunkards to reach those who are drunk or alcoholics. It does not mean we have to become a thief in order to reach the thieves, or a cultist to reach those who are caught up in a cult. It means that we need to meet the lost where they are. We need to be willing to get down in the mud, get our pretty little knees dirty, get dirt under our fingernails, and reach down into the depths and pull them out. To speak to them using parables, using illustrations, stories that they can understand and truly, truly grab a hold of. Stories that take what they don't know and reveal a God-given truth that they can truly apply to their lives because they understand the scenario and the illustration that you just described. They can relate to it and they can hold on to that and cling to that truth. All the while, like Jesus, we need to keep it simple. Right? We don't want it to be confusing. We need to keep it simple, we need to keep it concise, and we need to keep it situational. Lastly, self-apply. How do we apply the parables to our lives today? The parables were relevant then. They were relevant to the people then. It was stories of how they lived life then, but how can we relate to them today? Are they relevant today? And I would say absolutely. Because our God is a relevant God, a God who functions outside of time and space, and his written word is relevant and real. It has life and it gives life. The psalmist said that the Messiah would use stories of old to teach the people of today. It's no different from today. We learn from the stories past. We learn from our history, those who have gone before us. Although we may not all be farmers, we may not all be olive pressers or fisher of women. Hashtag, I'm with her. Yeah, because we have to say women instead of men. I like fisher of men. I'm just going to say it. We have the advantage of looking back on history, looking back on what these people did and learn from their mistakes. But also learn from what they accomplished and their triumphs. Looking back and learning what we could do differently and how we can even go beyond, take our faith and our walk to the next level. Ladies, we may not have talents like the parable of the talents, but we have money, we have resources, and we have time, and we know what we spend our resources on. We know. We may not own a vineyard, but we know whether or not we are firmly grounded in and part of God's vineyard. The parables are still something that we can relate to. They contain great and applicable meaning for our lives today. But when we interpret them and apply the parables to our lives, we need to be careful not to overthink it. Let's be honest, right? As women, we overthink everything. And so when we hear a story, we might add some context to it just to fluff it up a little. Or we might pull something out that we didn't like so that we can make this picture fit our lives. And that's not what we're supposed to do with these parables. We're not supposed to do that. To best understand the parables, We need to view them through not our personal lens, but through the lens of Scripture. We have to consider the time in which they were told. And we have to rely on the text and the related verses for comprehension of the central truth that they say and share. Then you can personalize it. Then you can ask the question, who am I in this story? Am I the foolish or the faithful servant, or am I the evil servant? Am I the wise virgin or one of the wise virgins, or am I acting like a foolish virgin? The parables of Jesus are stories that call us to action, a call to pursue Jesus with a steadfast heart, a call to give up the things of this world and to make ready for his return. Why did Jesus speak in parables? In hope that he might save many, or as many as he could, bringing them to the saving knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. Why are these applicable to us today? Because Jesus is the same as he was yesterday, as he is today, and he forever will be. And so his mission is just the same. It is to save those children of his. And so Jesus desires to know you more intimately, to know you more deeply. He desires for you to understand him. He desires for you to know his truth and be able to apply it to your lives. And he desires you to walk in his will, to live your life in his will. And so that's my challenge for you guys this semester. I challenge you to go more deeply, to cling to those truths and truly grab a hold of them. And even when you're scared and you don't fully comprehend it, don't look away and say, okay, then I'm one of those that he doesn't understand it, God, and so you don't know me. That's not true. That's the enemy. I want you to lean in and say, Father, show me, reveal, teach me, help me to understand. If you ask, you will receive. Next, we have Lenya sharing the who behind the parables.
I love that Janae said, you know, he used things back in the day, farming and fishing, and I don't do either. So my parables would be like two women walk into TJ Maxx. And they're digging through the racks, and it's a super-duper sale. And they find a name brand. No, I'm just going on with that. But you know what I mean. He's trying to take contextually something that you would relate to back in the day. And that's how it would be today. He would probably take something like, there's nothing as good as a new pair of shoes. But, you know, he's going to take something that you understand and that would relate to you. So the next thing I have is the who of the parables. Because you know what? The parables themselves aren't as important as the person telling the story, right? It's often not what is said, but who said it. Right? Do you remember this commercial from the 1980s? And it was like this beautiful Wall Street setting. They're in a paneled room. Maybe there's white tablecloths. Everybody's eating and talking. And all of a sudden, an elegant man in a suit, he leans in and he's about to say everything, and someone stops. Oh, they all stop and they look. And then an overlay says, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Okay, so this is God speaking. And therefore, people should listen. These are his stories that he is revealing. Trust me, I've been in a room with Billy Graham. And when Billy Graham would stop to say anything, everybody would look at him like, whoa, that's Billy Graham. What does he have to say about this? And so that's the idea that Jesus is saying these things. So, first of all, you should open your ears to the parables. Several times, multiple times at the beginning of the parables, it'll say, for him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so we need to open our ears. Jesus is saying, heads up, I've got something to say to you. In Shakespeare's play, Julius Caesar, he begins, Caesar, by saying, friends, Romans, countrymen, give me your ears. So the same thing, he's trying to collect your attention and we should open our ears. Now, Jesus employed several different techniques when he was teaching. One of the techniques he employed was poetical. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, it is some of the most beautiful words ever spoken. And when you get to the Beatitudes, blessed is he. Blessed are the peacemakers. These are the crown jewels of all words. And it says at the end of speaking these words that the people in the audience were astonished at his teachings. In other words, they'd never heard anything like this before. So it's astonishing. The next kind of teaching he does is prophetical. And Janae touched on that. He said words that were the living word of God from the Old Testament coming true for today. So do you remember he's in a synagogue in Capernaum? He walks into the synagogue. He reaches in and he pulls out a scroll of Isaiah that says that the prisoners would be set free, the brokenhearted would be healed. And he turns to the audience and he says, this day, this saying is fulfilled in your presence. Now, everybody in the synagogue knew he was saying, I'm God. That is me. And they knew it so much that they gathered him and rushed him toward a hill and tried to shove him off a cliff. So he spoke poetically, he spoke prophetically, and he spoke practically. There's times when he says, you know, I'm hungry. And I need something to eat. Or he needed to sleep. Or he talked to the Father. Or he had these things that were very practical. He gleaned grain on the Sabbath. It was a practical thing to do when he was hungry. And he spoke words of healing to the paralytic. So finally, the last kind of teaching he employs is parabolic, if you want to say it that way, just because it's, you know, poetic. And prophetic, so parabolic. And that means that he used these stories to tell about the Word of God. Now, as Janae said, and Zanetta, there came a season in the life of Jesus where he only spoke in parables, which is such an odd thing to do. And it was after he cast demons out of a man. And what happened is the religious leader said, he cast out demons by the power of the devil. In other words, these hard-hearted religious people just didn't get him. And so from that time forward, he would hide these truths that true believers would understand, but unbelievers would be hardened to. Herbert Lockyer said, Jesus adopted the parabolic form of teaching, whether addressing the disciples, his friends, or the Pharisees, who were his foes, in order to convince one group and condemn the other. Now, parables are a test. They're testing your heart. And Janae said, don't be afraid, but this is God's way of saying, do you hear? Do you recognize me? Do you see me? Can you find the lesson in the parable? For anyone who has ears, let him hear what I'm saying to the church. So open your ears, but you also must open your eyes. I don't know if any of you have ever met anyone famous before. You've been at a concert or something. But I've had two encounters. One, I was in a restaurant with a woman, a pastor's wife in California that had me speak. And sitting across the room was this handsome man. And I was like, gosh, God kind of looks familiar. And I kept looking and looking. And then all of a sudden I went, hey, I think that's Lionel Richie. And this morning everybody was like, who's Lionel Richie? So I had to go, oh, what a feeling when you dance. Nope. Okay, she's a brick. House. Well, that was when he was in the Commodores. But anyway, so it was Lionel Richie, and I went, he's much smaller in person. The other time was right here in Albuquerque. I was in anthropology. I was in a dressing room. Okay, and I come out of the dressing room, and there's this woman standing there, and I don't know if you guys know who Helena Bonham Carter is, but she has been with Johnny Depp in a ton of movies, so anything Johnny Depp was in, she was in. And I look at her and I go, man, that looks like Helena Bonham Carter. And I was just about to say, you look so much like Helena Bonham Carter. And then I went, wait, no, that is Helena Bonham Carter. And so I was about to say something stupid, because when we see something, we're not really sure we're seeing the person. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying, is open your eyes. Do you see me? Do you see me? Because a lot of us have a false concept of who Jesus is. We want to have gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Look upon this little child. But Jesus is the same Jesus who used a whip to overturn tables and chase people out of the temple. And so sometimes in the parables, he's revealing himself as something different than who we expect him to be. We miss sometimes his majesty in the manger. But he's just as majestic then. Or we forget that his divinity was wrapped in humanity. And so these parables are peeling away so that you can see him. Make no mistake, the Jesus who wept, the Jesus who walked dusty roads or wandered in the wilderness was always filled with the wonder of God. And we forget that. So Jesus, the light of the world, deliberately left people in darkness and hid truths from them. That doesn't make sense, does it? Jesus, who is the meek Lamb of God, said that he would separate people into categories. Nobody likes that anymore. We don't want to be in a category. And so he was like, there are sheep and goats, there are wheat and tares. And he would say that these were different categories. As a matter of fact, he said, sheep go to heaven and goats go to hell. Whoa. Does anybody even say hell anymore? Does anybody ever say, you know what? You're going to hell. Jesus said that. And so it's amazing to see him there. And Jesus, the Savior of the world, forgave some but would condemn others to eternity without him, separated from him. And you could look at Jesus as a parable himself, through which God is revealed. If you unfold the beauty of him, you'll find God inside. Jesus, therefore, becomes the picture, the parable, by which we can investigate and find God. I'll give you kind of a modern idea of that. C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Anybody seen that? Okay, so my grandkids were over. They're 8 and 5, and we wanted to watch a movie. I recommended that. It was all nice and good when Mr. Tumnus was there, and there was, but as soon as that white witch came, whoa, and you know, then she had wolves, but Aslan intrigued him, the lion. Who is Aslan in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Jesus Christ, such a good thing. And so at first they're like, I love Aslan. I want to lay there and pet him and cuddle up with the cat, but he's a lion. And every once in a while, Aslan would roar and he would define the boundaries. And they say, although he is safe, he's a little bit scary. And so sometimes Jesus reveals himself as the lion or the lamb. And that happens in these parables for us. The other thing you find in the parables is the personality of Jesus Christ. You guys got a handout when you came in? Because you can get deep with Jesus and you can see things about him you may not have seen in just normal text in the scripture. The parable of the debtor shows his mercy and grace. The sower shows his patience and long suffering. And the true vine shows his care and diligence. The lost sheep, his tenderness and pity. So you will find the face of Jesus in the parables and the personality of our Savior there. Finally, open your hearts. And that's what Janae was trying to say as well. The parables demand a response. They're not just nice stories that tell us secrets. Jesus expects a response. The religious leaders hardened their hearts. Therefore, they would not, could not understand the parables. But those who softened their hearts and responded to them and embraced them could see Jesus. They had, if you will, a fertile heart. the parable of the sower. Jesus sowing the seeds of the word of God. Some were snatched by birds. Some came up too quick and were burned by the sun. Some were choked out by weeds. And others brought forth 30, 60, 100-fold. You have this opportunity to have a fertile heart in which God can plant his seeds of his word and you can bear fruit studying these parables. For instance, the Good Samaritan, you know the story. A foreigner's walking down the road, thieves beat him up, take his stuff and leave him. And then a religious leader comes by, a Levite comes by. People keep coming by and they don't do anything until a Samaritan, who is a foreigner, comes and he says, I will bind up his wounds, I will give him something to eat, and I'll take him to an inn. The end of that parable says, go and do likewise. What do you think your response is? The next time you see someone in need, you probably should do something about it. Don't just drive by the homeless people, the hurting people, the woman crying in the grocery line, the person who is digging through their coins to figure out how they're going to pay for whatever that is, when you could just say, here's a buck. It was really funny. I was at this store the other day for groceries, and this woman was doing that, and she kept saying, we'll take this off, we'll take this off. And I said, I'll pay for it. And she goes, no, I'm on a budget, and I really want to make it. I was like, okay. The cashier was, that was really a nice thing you were trying to do. But she needed to do her budget, so that was all okay. But you can do this. Go and do likewise. When we have the parable of the unforgiving servant, do you remember? The king said and says, today your debts are due. And he didn't have the money, so he begged and pled. And he said, please forgive me, and I'll pay you all that I owe. And so the king said, fine. Then he goes out to his neighbors and friends and says, pay me what you owe me. And they said, we can't do it. And he throws them into jail. And so Jesus says, how can you, after being forgiven, not be forgiving? And then he says, people who don't forgive will burn in the fires of hell. That's really intense. Are you forgiving? Because in the Lord's Prayer it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you're not forgiving, then you're telling God, forgive me like that. Not. Don't treat me this way. So that parable says, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. So the parables expect a response. So we found out today what the parables are, why Jesus spoke in parables, and that he was the very God that was telling these stories. And we can't wait for you guys to dig in and enjoy seeing this incredible side of Jesus Christ, see him face to face, encounter him, and bear fruit as a result of it. God bless you guys, and you're now going to break into small groups. And hey, there's a photo wall over there that's super cool. And how many of you Facebook? How many of you Instagram? Go over by the wall, do us a solid, and say hashtag SheABQ so that other people know about this and maybe would want to come join us. So go over to the wall, hang out, have coffee, meet new people in your small groups. Do your homework, the first chapter for next week, and we'll meet here. God bless you.